Okay, well, we're going to spend some time in God's Word this morning. And we are going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to share on the subject of being steadfast in God. To be steadfast in God. In our relationships with people, whether they be a friendship or a family or business related or whatever, merchant related, we like to remove as many uncertainties about the other individual as possible so that we're comfortable. And that, I think, is pretty commonly done with most people. They sort of want to know something about the other party. They want to get to a point where they feel comfortable with being around them or involved with them. Like, for instance, if you were to have your house painted by somebody, you wanted the inside of your house painted, you probably wouldn't. I picked up the ancient phone book. We still have one. You wouldn't go to the painting section, which I'm going to do, and there's a list of them here, and just close your eyes and stick your finger on there, and whatever your finger is on, call that one up and say, "Hey, I want you to paint my house." You probably wouldn't do that. You probably want to know where they're from, have they ever painted before, if they're bonded, some references, you know, do they do a good job? Because they're going to come into the sanctity of your house, and you want to make sure they don't steal your stuff, ruin your stuff. You know what I mean? So you want to have a little bit of knowledge about what they are to the point that you can feel comfortable or settled in your heart and say, okay, I'm willing to hire you. John's a painter, and probably a lot of times it's done by reference. Somebody refers him, and they know, you know, what he did, and that's information that you can gather. It kind of eliminates some questions or wondering. So, in the same manner, God wants us to have that same being settled or have uncertainties removed in our relationship with Him. He already knows who we are. He knows it's pretty good. But He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know about Him and about what His Word says. That's what He would like to see, so that we can become settled about God Almighty. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see a little example of this. Because God doesn't want us to be all jumbled up on the inside, not knowing what He's like or what He does. 1 Corinthians 15 is a record concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the future resurrections of believers. And in verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." And after that, He goes on to mention different people who saw Jesus Christ in the resurrected body. And then you get down to verse 12, and it says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your believing is also vain." And it goes into that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. But there were people in the Corinthian church that were saying, "Hey, yeah, there really isn't a resurrection." And so Paul, by revelation, was setting the record straight that, yes, there was a resurrection. Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. If He didn't, you're not saved. And went into a lot of things. And at the end of the chapter, in verse 38, we see the conclusion to this whole thing of what God really wants for the believer, the believers in Corinth at that time, and also for all believers. It says, verse 58, "Therefore," giving us the conclusion, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the word be, where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, could also better be translated as become. God wanted those believers then and wants believers now to become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we're going to look at this word steadfast. it's a Greek word. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's hedrados. It's a derivative of the word to sit. And according to E.W. Bullinger, the definition of that means to be seated, sedentary, sitting fast, fixed, settled. That's what steadfast means. And we're to become that. God wants us, in this section, he wanted those believers to become settled concerning the truths of the resurrection. He didn't want these believers all jumbled up wondering, well, is there a resurrection? Is there no resurrection? God wants us to be settled concerning those matters. The next word, unmovable, I know for sure I'm not going to do this one right. Amek ak anektos. There you go. Anyway, you can look it up. According to E.W. Bullinger, it means without moving from one place to another, not moving away. So between those two words, he wants us to be settled or fixed and then unmovable. We get to a point where we're settled with the truth concerning the resurrection, and then we're unmovable concerning the truths of that resurrection. And then as the third item in there where it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He wants us to get to a point where we know. I recently started raising houses because of the storm, Hurricane Sandy. And there weren't too many house raisers around this area. Now there's a lot of them. I'm one of them. And what we do is we hire a guy that raises houses. They disconnect everything and they raise it up. And then we take the foundation and extend it or build a new one. And so it's up higher. And then the house comes down. And the first time I mentioned to the guy that was going to lower, they said, you're going to drop the house, right? And he goes, oh, we don't use that term, drop. We like to call it set. We set the house. So anyway, they set the house back on the foundation. And then we have to fasten that house to the foundation with all these metal things. And whether it works or not, I don't know. But designers say it's going to hold that house in place for a future storm, if we ever get one. So it's a twofold thing. You're setting, and then you're holding it fast. And that's what God wants. He wants our minds, our hearts, to be settled or set in the truth of God's word. Then he wants us to be unmovable. I don't know if you've ever lifted up sanitary sewer lids, you know, the 30-inch things in the street. Being they built some streets and stuff, I've had to take that lid off and get involved in work and then put the lid back in. If you don't put that lid back in and seat it correctly, it wobbles and moves. You've got to clean out all the dirt and you set it in correctly. And then once it's in correctly, you can drive as many trucks and cars over it for decades and it's not going to move. But he wants us to be settled, then unmovable. So I thought it'd be nice to look at a few scriptures concerning this. There's this same word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this chapter deals with marriage in the first century. And really a lot of this is cultural stuff in that day and time. And in that culture, the father was the one to determine the who the daughter married and things like that. And some women didn't get married and some did. And so I guess there was some questions concerning, you know, what's right and what's not right. And so the essence of it is in chapter 7, verse 37, we see this word. It says, nevertheless, he that standeth, referring to the Father, standeth steadfast in his heart. The word steadfast is the same word for steadfast we just read in the other chapter. Steadfast, or settled in his heart, having no necessity, but have power over his own will, and hath decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. And then if he didn't want it, he wanted it the opposite way, but he was steadfast in that thought too, that was fine too with God. God really didn't care which way it went, just that the heart of the individuals was steadfast in their decision. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And this is another scripture that shows this same word, steadfast. Hederos sounds like a name from Latin America. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The word settled there is that same Greek word. Grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So again, we see that God's will is that we are settled. We are fixed. We are settled in the truths of his word. Here it's referring to the gospel of the hope. So I thought it'd be nice to look at a few of the truths that God, you know, there's a lot of them, but I thought I'd pick a couple of them, of what God would really want us to be settled on and unmovable on. And the first one was in Romans, will be in Romans chapter 10. We're going to go there. Romans chapter 10. He wants us to be settled on his word, and there are many great truths in his word. I just thought we'd look at a few. The first one I thought I'd look at is on the subject of salvation. As we speak God's word to people, I often get amazed at how often I meet people who don't know whether or not they're saved or not. They're a Christian, or they say they're a Christian, but they're not certain if they're saved. They're not certain if they're going to heaven. Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it makes it very clear as to how to get saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God does want us to know whether we're saved or not. I have 5 kids. I kind of want them to know that I'm their dad. Maybe not, no. But, you know, God is, you know, a lot better and bigger than I am, and he wants us to know that we're saved. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, way in the back there. In Ephesians 2, it says that we're saved by grace, not of works. I've had people say, well, you know, I'm not really that good of a person, so I don't think I'm saved. But salvation is not based on your goodness. It's based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and we simply do what Romans 10, 9, and 10 say. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord, name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions of that we desired of him. There's a little bit of knowing in there. And it doesn't have the N-O, it's the K-N-O. We know that we have eternal life. God does want us to get to a point where we're settled on the truth that, yes, I am saved, I'm going to heaven. And then he wants us to be unmovable on that area. Let's go to chapter 3. He wants us to absolutely be...
First
John chapter 3. He wants us to be absolutely certain that we are saved. That's pretty loving. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know," there it is again, "that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When we do get saved, we become a son of God. And it says right there, now are we a sons of God. Now are we sons of God. Great one right above it. Verse 1, look at how God, you know, about God's love. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." We have God's love. He does love us. And that's nice to be settled on, to know that God Almighty loves you. Katie probably doesn't like me saying this, but she's in the kitchen there. But when I think, Kate, you were probably about 8 years old when you did this. But every day I told Katie how much I loved her. You know, I told her every day, lots of times, you know, through the day and into the evening. And when I put her to bed, you know, that I love her. And one night I put her to bed and she goes, "You know, Dad, you don't have to tell me anymore that you love me. I know you love me." I said, "All right." So about a month later, I hadn't said it all month, she started crying. She goes, "No." You know, she wanted to hear it again, which is wonderful. But we know that God loves us, and that he wants us so settled on that and so unmovable. Why not? We would do that with our own kids. We want them to know we love them. So God's certainly a lot bigger than us. So he wants us to know that he absolutely loves us. And just never, ever budge off of that. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll see another scripture concerning God's love for us. He wants us to know that we're saved. He wants us to know we're his sons. He wants us to know he loves us. Chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward" who?
Us.
And he wants us to know that. "Toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We don't get good enough to earn God's love. You'll be working a long time if you had to earn it. We got God's love because he loves us. While we were yet sinners, while we were really who you wouldn't want to be, that, you know, God loved us. And we have to be settled in that. He wants us to be seated where we're just settled in our heart, fixed on that truth. Let's go up a few verses to verse 1. How about the peace that we have with God? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have never gotten that peace with God."
No.
We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have it, we have it. He wants us to not be all jumbled up on the inside wondering if we really have a relationship with God, if he really loves us. Are we really at peace with him? Does he like us? So he wants us to know, absolutely. What a great rest there is in that when we have a relationship like that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. There are so many great truths in God's word that we could look at. You could sit down for hours and find truth after truth of things that are such a blessing to us, that God wants us to be settled on and then unmovable in. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. This is one of the rights and privileges that we have, being a son of God. "Who hath," referring to the work of Jesus Christ, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And that's referring to, there are a lot of scriptures dealing with the power of darkness, and it's referring to Satan or the devil. It says that he has rulership, as you know, on earth, of the earth. Adam transferred his rights to Satan a long time ago, to the serpent, and he's been ruling ever since. But there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is going to set up rule on the earth. And the devil will be unseated. But in the meantime, when an individual gets saved, they are removed, they're delivered from the power of darkness. The adversary, the devil, has absolutely no right on our lives. None. None whatsoever. If a policeman came up to the door here today and said he wanted to arrest me, it has never happened. He would have no right. I could claim my rights as a U.S. citizen and say, you know, what right do you have to arrest me? He can't just arrest me. I have to do something bad first. But he's not allowed to just arrest me. Same thing with the devil. He no longer has the rule over our life. He no longer has authority over our life. And that deals with all kinds of things. Sickness, and death, and disease. So, look at what Susan taught last week about God's protection. We put our trust in him, and we get settled that when something happens that looks like, oh, we could be in big trouble, we put our trust in him, and we get settled on that, and then unmovable on that, and then we enjoy the benefits of it. So, let's go to two more. Ephesians, we're going to go back a book. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He's made us holy. So we get settled on that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, back to the left a little bit more, chapter 5. Another great truth that God wants us to be settled on. Chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he hath made him, referring to Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's pretty big. We have the righteousness of God in him. We are righteous in God's sight. We are holy and without blame before him. He wants us to be settled on those truths and unmovable. Nobody is to ever talk us out of that we're righteous before God Almighty. Even if we break fellowship with him, it doesn't change our righteousness at all. Katie's my daughter, whether she does what I say she's supposed to do or not. She's still my daughter. I'm still righteous in God's sight. I'm still holy. Okay, so how do we get to the point of being settled and immovable? Well, there's a scripture in Psalm 119 that sort of gives us a little information on it. How do we get to that point? We may want it to be like that, but not know how to get like that. Psalm 119. There are a lot of scriptures that we can go to. I'm just going to utilize this one. Psalm 119, and in verse 30. This is something that we can do to become settled and unmovable in the truths of his word. Verse 30 says, and this is David by revelation writing this, he says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In other words, he's looking at them. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. We're the ones to choose to go to God's word, to read it, to learn it, to stand on it. You know, it's not, doesn't just happen automatically. We make an effort to learn what his word says, and learn what it says accurately, and then stand on it. We're just going to go to a couple more scriptures. One's in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. But we are to get to a place in God's word in our minds that we just simply decide to do it and stick to it. Decide to not learn it and stick to it. The greatest example we have of all this is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was a little fella, in chapter 2, verse 48, he made a great statement to his mom and dad. They had went to visit as a family in Jerusalem. They went for some things, and he stayed behind after they left and was learning the scriptures in the temple. And in verse 48, they finally found him after they realized that he'd been missing. They lost the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they were that settled at that moment. 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, well, how is it that you sought me? Wist or know ye not that I must be about my father's business? So he's referring to God Almighty. He was learning what the scriptures said concerning himself and what he was to be as the Redeemer. He was getting those truths set in his heart where he understood them and could become unmovable. He wasn't programmed from birth. Any of us here just like know everything from the time we... I mean, wouldn't that be funny? You come out and you say, hey, Mom, look, you need a little adjustment here. No, it doesn't work that way. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. This shows Jesus Christ when he was involved in his ministry as the Son of God, as the Redeemer, and he's teaching God's word, and he was performing miracles, doing a lot of things. And he had performed this miracle of feeding a lot of people. And in chapter 6, verse 15, we see something quite interesting. They got a free meal, I guess, and they saw this great miracle. And it says, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he said, hey, that's not a bad idea. No, he didn't. He was not going to be moved from that which he learned of who he was, that he was the Redeemer, he was God's Son, he was to do God's will, he was the Savior. He didn't just say, hey, I think that's a good idea. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. He saw that they were going to try to take and make him a king, and he had nothing to do with it. And, you know, there's things that God has called us to do. Do we allow the world to move us off of that in our service? We don't. Verse 26 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He understood what was happening. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So he learned what the word of God said, and then he became unmovable on those truths. He would not let people steal that from him. He wouldn't let his will getting in the way. He knew what he was supposed to do. And we too have great truths that we can stand on and get settled on in our heart. And what a rest that is to us when we really know that God loves us. I remember the first time I realized that in my life, I melted. I was like, this is nice. I really enjoyed it, you know, to realize that God actually loved me. So I changed my mind to how I thought about myself and moved to a better pastures. So, but we stay unmovable. So anyway, be steadfast, as it says, in God, so the things of God.